Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline from MLB.com, wrapping up another long summer covering the San Diego Padres, is AJ Cassavell. And I heard him on the game broadcast yesterday. Got the special invitation into the booth from Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr. Did a very nice job. AJ, it's good to have you on this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We got 2 weeks to go. Let's wrap this thing up strong.
AJ, you excited about Caboo?
I can never be excited about Caboo because I will never be there, because it'll be always be when I'm on the road, right?
Yeah, you'll definitely, now it's guaranteed to always be when you're on the road.
True.
Because the Padres will be on the road during Caboo. Good point, AJ.
I think it has been in the past, too, because I've never been able to go. So that's not a thing that's at the forefront of my mind.
So are you still in Denver, or are you already in Milwaukee? How does that work?
I'm in neither. So I get a series off a month, and Milwaukee just so happens to be the one. This was a pretty, from a writer perspective, it's a pretty logistically difficult trip. So the series I get off this month is going to Milwaukee, when going from Denver to Milwaukee after a game at Coors Field on a Sunday for a game in a different time zone the next day would have been tough. So this is the one I'm off. I'll still be working. I'll still be doing a few things, but I won't be covering the games. We have another guy in Milwaukee to fill in for me.
So I thought some good info that you had yesterday with Jesse and Tony on the air. One topic that came up, we were just talking about him, is Will Myers, who's going to end up with numbers at the end of the season after this hot streak that aren't going to be that far off Manny Machado and Eric Hosmer. I just did a little comparison, yet obviously a very different feeling between two cornerstones and a guy that you'd think the Padres would try to unload if they could get any takers, and probably won't this offseason. What do you think the plan is going forward for Will Myers? What options will the Padres have going into the 2020 season?
I think they'll explore trades, and I really don't know how much this late hot streak helps, because there is such a track record of what he's done poorly in the past, which is kind of go through these peaks and valleys, and I think a lot of us probably could have predicted the way his season went. A lot of very difficult struggles and some really, really high highs. And so if there are no takers, and I'm sure the Padres will explore all their options, they're not going to trade him for basically nothing. If there are no takers, he could be a piece, because I said this yesterday, the way the outfield's constructed, they have Hunter Renfro and Manuel Margot, who torch left-handed pitching. They're presumably going to go out and try and find a left-handed bat in the offseason, and then maybe Francisco Cordero or Josh Naylor or Nick Martini, one of those guys who can hit righties pretty well. And Will Myers is the guy who does both. And you're not going to carry a six-man outfield and platoon everyone. And so I think it's incredibly valuable to have that guy that plays against both pretty routinely, can hit both kinds of pitching. I think they feel that way about Hunter Renfro in some settings, but Will Myers' platoon splits are more even than anyone else's.
We're talking to AJ Cassavell here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, this series in Colorado, like the last series in Colorado, it's nuts. I mean, almost had to come back on Friday night. You know, it's ugly baseball, though. And the Padres seem to really not be comfortable playing at Coors Field. In your opinion, when you watch, you know, the guys that were running out there in all the series in Colorado this year, what's missing? Like, who is the successful pitcher at Coors Field? Is he the high velo guy? Is he the sinker guy? Because I know that even the Rockies have had trouble figuring that out.
Yeah, I think if there was a solution, maybe that person would be the general manager of the Rockies and figured things out, and they would have had pretty good pitching stats right now. But
we're real bad. We're like real bad.
Yeah, and that's to me, that's the thing that, like, I tweet about how bad they're pitching in Colorado, and the response is Coors. Well, it's not Coors. This Padres pitching staff this year was historically bad even for Coors, at Coors. So I believe their ERA was something like 10.67, which is almost three full runs higher than anyone else to ever play three series there. And so they need to figure something out. I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all issue. I think there are certain guys, like Joey Lucchese's had success there in the past, and he's pitched pretty well there in the past. He's a few things go against him Friday night. I wouldn't be worried about Joey Lucchese. I think to me, the thing is, you kind of can't be scared to pitch at Coors. You kind of can't feel the overwhelming nature of – you almost have to go to the mound and kind of accept that you're going to give up four runs. And if you can do that, maybe it'll prevent you from giving up eight runs. If you just kind of go out there and execute your pitches, and then when you give up a two-run bomb that should have been a fly out to right field, you can take the ball the next time and say, you know what, I'm going to make the next pitch. To me, that's the key, and that's not saying – that's not a great answer because you're not going six innings with one-run ball. But I think there's a lot of guys on the Padres pitching staff, and for the most part, Coors Field isn't in their head. But when you look at a guy like Eric Lauer and the struggles he's had, and maybe some of the other young guys, something needs to change. I thought what Andy Green said on Saturday night was interesting. It was kind of a foreshadowing of the 2020 rotation. And he said, we will keep this in mind when we're constructing what we're doing in 2020, which to me sounds like they will avoid Eric Lauer altogether in Coors Field if indeed he's in the rotation.
It sounded very threatening, like Dad was angry. We're going to keep this in mind going forward. It was not a
It's about time.
I heard that as well. But when you look at that 2020 rotation, there's a chance. I mean, that maybe not a likelihood, but certainly a chance that all three of the starters who pitched this weekend in Coors might not make the rotation next year. I mean, if the Padres go out and pick up a newcomer, as there's been talk that they might do in trade or free agency, and, you know, Chris Paddock and Garrett Richards, who's going to start tonight, and Denelson Lamet, and, you know, if Mackenzie Gore pulls a Paddock and makes the starting rotation to start next year, well, there's five guys. Now, they're going to have to rely on more than five starters. I think that's one of the things the Dodgers have done well, AJ, is that they've had Ross Stripling and other swing guys who can be that sixth starter to fill the gap when someone gets injured for a couple of weeks here or there. It's so important, and maybe Joey Lucchese's that guy. How do you see that 2020 rotation breaking down?
Yeah, to me, that's the most interesting question the rest of the season. I think you pretty much nailed the basics of it. It's Chris Paddock's going to be in it. He's done pretty much everything you could have asked for from a rookie. And then Garrett Richards is going to be in it. You've committed $15.5 million to him. You want to at least see what he's got. And when he's good, he's maybe one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball if he can return to that version of himself. I'm not saying he will because he's gone through a lot of injuries. So those are two guys. I think they go out and get someone in the offseason. I'm not sure what they give up to get a guy like Noah Syndergaard or someone they might sign. I'm not sure what they have to give up to get there. So I don't know who's out of the mix. But I think they go out and get someone who's more of a frontline guy this offseason, too. So all of a sudden, that's three. They're not going to go with the six-man rotation they've had this year. They might do it at times to give guys extra rest, but for the most part, it's going to be five. So now you've got a lot of pretty guys who've been in the rotation pretty easily without much competition for the last couple seasons. Now all of a sudden, they've got to really fight for those jobs. And I think that's what the Padres want. That's kind of what they've been trying to create, and they haven't had that. And I think it's been frustrating to some people because I don't want to say there's been no accountability, but it's almost been like, well, when you struggle, the struggles are almost allowed because there's no real other options. Next season, I would guess there will be a shorter leash on some of these guys when they struggle, and the rotation race in the spring will be pretty tight. I think guys like Eric Lauer, Joey Lucchese, Denelson Lamet, they're all important pieces in the sense that you can't really win or make a playoff spot without digging deeper into your rotation than the five guys you have. You mentioned what the Dodgers have done. But for them to be in the season opening rotation, they still have something to prove.
Talking to AJ Cassavell from MLB.com here on Ben and Woods. So, sure you saw yesterday the Amarillo Sod Poodles claiming the Texas League title in their inaugural season. And it came on a ninth inning grand slam by Taylor Trammell, who, of course, was the outfield of Padres got from the Reds in the three-way trade that sent Framil Reyes to the Indians. He got off to such a slow start, played so well in the playoffs. What do you project for Trammell in terms of next season? I assume we'll see him in big league camp. Is he really someone they'd look at as a potential guy who could make the opening day roster, or is he still a few months away at best?
I think he'd have to blow them away in spring training to make the opening day roster. I think he's still a few months away, and even then it's a kind of get your feet wet situation. And that's why the Padres have some pieces to add this offseason. All of those pieces don't have to be at the level of Noah Syndergaard. I think they need to add a left-handed outfield bat who can hit against righties and start against righties and then sit against all lefties. Maybe like a Corey Dickerson, Nick Markakis. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I haven't looked at all those guys down the line. But if they can kind of balance the offense,
they don't need to do it for the long haul. If you can kind of bridge that gap to when Taylor Trammell's ready, maybe when Josh Naylor's hitting a little bit better, then all of a sudden you just kind of set yourself up for success in 2020 and down the road. So I like Taylor Trammell's future. He's not the answer for 2020, and I'm not sure that the Padres do have a lefty hitting outfield bat answer for 2020.
AJ, I really appreciate it. I've enjoyed your coverage all season long. Great job in the booth yesterday with Jesse and Tony Gwynn Jr. as well. Enjoy your series off, and then a strong finish to the year for the last couple of weeks here, AJ. Let's take it all the way to the finish line. We don't want to slack at all just because it's September.
Yep, let's do it. Finish strong.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, AJ. AJ Cassavelle on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low auto loan rates, as low as 3.15% APR. Apply today at sdccu.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.